my guest today is a good friend, Asher Platts. Many of you will know him from his videos on YouTube, his Punk Patriot series. Asher has been active in Occupy Wall Street, in Occupy DC, and Asher has also been a huge help working with me on the documentary that I'm working on right now that is still yet untitled, which will drop on April 17th, Tax Day. Asher, thank you for joining us on today's OCU podcast.
I'm glad to be here.
So, I mean, I'm going to get around in a moment to something that a lot of people within the Occupy movement embrace and some may not embrace, and that is your recent announcement to run for state senate in Maine. But before we get there, maybe we can take a step back. It's winter. It's 4+ months on into the movement. Most of the camps around the country have been shut down. It feels like there's a regrouping. Much of the Occupy activity is happening on listservs and in conference calls right now, not in the streets. From your assessment then, looking back, what has the Occupy movement really accomplished so far?
Well, I think Occupy Wall Street achieved quite a lot. I mean, all of these issues that, I mean, I feel like I've been kind of like shouting into the wilderness about for a while, and I know a lot of people feel the same way. You know, these are like mainstream issues now, and Occupy Wall Street has done a really great job of just bringing all of this out into the public dialogue. And I think that alone is huge, just because of, you know, the narrative that we hear every day from the corporate-owned media. You know, the people who are telling the narrative are not, you know, workaday Joes, and they don't know what it is to be, you know, under the brunt of this this capitalist machine. And, you know, so our perspective is lost, but, or had been, and Occupy Wall Street has completely changed that. I think, you know, there's been, that's a victory in and of itself, and, you know, I think it's only going to get bigger from here, so, I mean, we'll see.
So your sense is that it is going to get bigger from here. What do you think the next big, where's the next big flowering or blossoming come?
Well, definitely May 1st, the International Day of Worker Solidarity. I know that a lot of work is being done to try to put together a general strike, you know, working with all sorts of different unions and just, you know, regular people who aren't parts of unions or who aren't in a union, and, you know, people in schools. I know it's happening in Chicago, it's happening in New York, I'm sure it's happening in lots of other cities where occupations have been shut down. So, I mean, we'll see if it goes off. If it does, we'll, you know, all of us working people, we're the ones who make this whole machine run, and if we decide to step back for one day.
Chris Hedges set off a little bit of a controversy 2 weeks ago when he wrote an article called The Cancer in Occupy, where he focused on black bloc tactics, although he seemed to think for a moment there that they were actually a group, like a card-carrying group. And that set off a little bit of a debate about, you know, what's been known as a diversity of tactics, which diversity of tactics has almost come to be shorthand for how we define violence or nonviolence, but obviously, diversity of tactics is much bigger than a commitment to or nonviolence or a willingness to enter into a gray area of nonviolence. Can you talk a little bit about your understanding of how the diversity of tactics serves the overarching goals of the Occupy movement?
Well, I do think that a problem among the left or amongst activists in general is, like, we all have this bandwagon mentality that, you know, oh, I'm going to do electoral activism, so everybody should do electoral activism, or, oh, I'm going to do direct action, so everybody should do direct action, or, I'm working on, you know, this ballot initiative, so everybody should work on this ballot initiative, or I'm starting a co-op, so everybody should help me with this co-op. And, you know, that's just out of touch with how the world works. And I mean, I don't know exactly where that notion stems from, but so diversity of tactics just recognizes that, you know, there's all sorts of different ways to move forward. But I do think that diversity of tactics has become kind of shorthand for smashing shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, there may be a time and a place for that, but, you know, I have things that I wouldn't want smashed, and I don't know. I just feel like it's better to create dialogue, especially at this point. I mean, we you know, if we're going to be, you know, shutting down government buildings or something, we need, you know, really massive numbers. And we don't have that right now. We're in a very nascent stage right now. And what we need to be focusing on right now is building solidarity with working people, building solidarity with people who are in schools, building solidarity with people who aren't in the movement yet, people who are working, who aren't part of our union, people who, you know, don't really understand what the movement's about yet. And so, you know, or stay-at-home moms, if there are any who can afford to do that anymore. Everybody who's in our communities, you know, that we're a part of a much broader community than just the activist community. And we have to really recognize that we need to build solidarity with the people who are currently outside of the movement and show them why they should be part of the movement. And going around and smashing shit, not only does it give the police justification for, you know, doing what they do so well, but it also, in the public eye, you know, it just makes us look like assholes. And, you know, right now, it's just not a good, smashing shit is not a good tactic to engage in right now. But diversity of tactics. I mean, I'm running for office, and one thing I'm doing is going around door to door and talking about, you know, issues like a living wage, talking about like a mandatory minimum income, talking about creating a state bank for, you know, I'm in the state of Maine. Currently, you know, when we pay our taxes, that money from that goes into a Wall Street bank. You know, just like, you know, anybody else, you know, you have a bank account. We have a bank account for our taxes. Most states do.
Right.
And so I want to get our money out of that, have a state bank where we're not, or maybe create like credit unions, a ring of credit unions that we can put our money in. So we can keep our money locally. We don't have to be, you know, putting it in a Wall Street bank that's, you know, ruining the world economy. And the other thing, too, is like, these Wall Street banks, when we give them our money, and, you know, states generate a lot of revenue through taxes, they're able to use that to make all these crazy bets and you know, give out loans to our municipalities that, you know, have ballooning interest rates or whatever, and then, you know, our municipalities are all going bankrupt around the United States right now. If we had a state-run bank, we wouldn't have any of that stuff going on. I think we should have a public bank for public funds. Talking about getting money out of politics. I mean, that's the first issue on my platform is public funds for public office. You know, if we had mandatory clean elections, you know, we wouldn't have the problem of corruption because people would be beholden to voters and nobody else. They wouldn't have to worry about raising money. So, you know, but that's just one, you know, tactic. I'm going around and just talking with people, and you know, raising their consciousness about these issues.
That's one of many tactics. I want to maybe touch the third rail a little bit here, and say that in my opinion, the Occupy movement has been well served these first 4 or 5 months in not clearly defining objectives and demands. Now that said, anyone who says that they don't understand what the Occupy movement is about, I think, is lying. But the Occupy movement has done well and has grown the movement by not clearly delineating a demand on the system. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. One could be, for instance, we don't want to make demands on a system that we want to tear down. There are some within the Occupy movement who want to either tear down the system or just walk away from the system and completely build their own. So I guess my question now comes to, are we at the point where the movement would be well served by going through the hard work on a national level to define what it wants? And the reason I ask that, Asher, is a tactic without a clearly defined objective is almost a little bit like the cart before the horse. A tactic is one method of pursuing a specific objective. So you, by running for office, may want to say this system can work for us. We just need to engage in it. We need to occupy office, you know. But that tactic may be in direct opposition to someone within the movement who might say, shit, I want to tear the whole thing down. So can you speak to that tug of war?
Well, I mean, I guess what does it mean to tear the whole thing down? I mean, and how does one go about doing that? And I think, you know, if you can lay out a map for that, then, you know, I say go for it. I mean, I've spent, you know, I was thinking about this the other day about, like, the whole diversity of tactics thing. I've spent a lot of my time, like, for the past 10 years, I've been engaging in electoral politics, and so it's what I know. And my demands that I have in my platform are, you know, mine. And I think that's another thing that the Occupy movement has been really good about is, you know, when someone speaks to issues, they say, you know, this is me speaking. I'm not speaking for the movement. I don't plan to speak for the movement. But so, you know, for the past 10 years, I've been engaged in electoral activism. I've been intimately involved with the nuts and bolts of how to do it, and I've been, you know, constantly learning how to do it. So, you know, it's a natural thing that that's how, you know, I would go to express, you know, what I have going on. For somebody else who's been engaged in, say, community organizing or direct action for the past 10 years, you know, what they've been doing for the past 10 years is a different skill set. And so, you know, it would be natural that they should be, you know, engaging in direct action or teaching direct action workshops. What is your question again?
I guess only if it works, right? I mean, are people pursuing engaging in direct action? And I put myself in this category too, because we feel like Hedges is invokes Greek tragedy. It's the only thing left we can do, so that we're on the right side of a sinking ship. Whereas when I'm thinking about tactics, I'm thinking about winning, you know, and we almost laugh. And what does it mean to win? What would the world look like if Occupy won? You know,
right.
And then define what that world looks like, and then you can assess all the tactics that you're pursuing against that rubric, for lack of a better word. You know, is this direct action against this particular target going to help me achieve what the world I'm trying to create in helping Occupy win? And that means that we have to somehow consense, which that gets us into a bigger discussion of how do you scale up this horizontal GA process, which might, you know, feel like a utopia for 200 or 300 people in a micro sense, but it gets really difficult. So how does that scale up?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I don't have the answer for that. I wish I did. Go ahead.
Let's talk about something you have the answers to. Maybe how have people within the movement responded to your announcement as a Green Party candidate, you're pursuing Green Party candidate for state senator in the Portland, Maine area, right?
Yep, that's correct.
So how what's the response been like from your friends within the movement to that announcement?
My friends within the movement have been really excited. Some other people who I don't know within the movement have been excited. Some people who I don't know in the movement have kind of naysayed and said that I'm wasting my time and this, that, and the other thing, tried to convince me not to do it for whatever reason. But I think, you know, I don't even think it's necessarily that I'm running as a green, it's that I'm running at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think really like the heart of what the Occupy movement is about, or at least for me, what I kind of see from it is like a reclaiming of responsibility for our own lives. And I think part of that is self-governance. And, you know, we can, that's through the GA process. And, you know, it can be through other things as well. And so, I mean, certainly representative democracy isn't as horizontal as, you know, a GA. But getting into office, one can work to make it so. In Maine, I would say the state of Maine's state government is far, far more horizontal than most states. We have a referendum process where, you know, any citizen can write and pass a bill. All we need is just community support for it. You know, there's a threshold of however many thousand signatures you need to get a statewide referendum. But, you know, we like any citizen can be a legislator in the state of Maine. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, we've had a lot of decisions that have come and gone in the past that, you know, some have been good, some have been not good. But it's democracy. I mean, the two I'm thinking of, there was one really lousy tax bill that was passed by the Democratic majority that put an overwhelming burden. It was a consumption tax, and it put an overwhelming burden on working people and poor people. And there was exemptions in it for things like bed and breakfast stays, or if you wanted to buy a boat, you know, those were exempt from the consumption tax. But, you know, smaller, like if you got your car fixed or, you know, if you're buying groceries, then, you know, you were hit with a consumption tax. And so we repealed that through, through the referendum process. You know, another, thing, I just recently worked on a citizen initiative, where we're trying to increase the state clean energy standards, where currently we have a slowly graduating percentage over time that each year, one percentage point more of the state's energy portfolio, which means like government buildings, you know, they have to buy energy. So, you know, a growing portion of that needs to come from clean renewables, which is wind, solar, biofuel. And so we wanted to increase that to 20% by 2020. And that's a citizen-led initiative. And then one that was not so great was of course gay marriage here, where the legislature passed it, and then it was repealed through citizen legislature.
What are your chances? Who's the incumbent in the district, and has it been favorable to Green Party candidates in the past? What's the road ahead for you look like?
Yeah, the city of Portland is a great place to be a Green. We have a really active local committee. A lot of the people on the state steering committee live here, myself included. We have, I think it's District 120 has something like 30% of its population is green. The incumbent in the race is Justin Alfond of the Alfond family. He's, I have a great amount of respect for him. I'm running to speak to my issues. My issues are different from his. I think that mine are a little further to the left and a little more radical than his, and I think that being a Green, that I kind of have greater permission to talk about the issues that I talk about in my platform. So far the reception has been really good here in the city of Portland. I mean, granted, right now I'm talking mostly to Greens because I'm trying to get ballot status, which I have to get 100 signatures from registered Green Party members. You know, I'll see how things unfold as we go into the general election. For the most part, you know, people have received me really well. I don't know what my chances are. I know that the chances of me splitting the vote and having a Republican win are slim to none. The Republican Party usually runs a candidate in the district, and they rarely get above, like, 3% of the vote. So, I don't know what my chances of winning are.
What do you think about this, the news coming out earlier this week about a gentleman in Alabama, I believe, forming an Occupy super PAC? You gonna jump on any of that cash?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't be able to anyway, because, you know, I wouldn't be able to coordinate. But no, one of the things about being a member of the Green Party is it's in our platform that we do not, like, and this goes, like, from the state Green Party and from National Green Party, our candidates do not take money from PACs. We don't take money from corporations. Like, we run as clean, where clean elections are available, we run clean. Where they aren't available, we run on, you know, donations from individuals. Small amounts, and we're very much a party, like, of the people. Part of my running for office is I'm getting clean election funds, and I'm collecting checks in the amounts of $5.
Do those checks have to come from people within the district?
Yes, they do. Although I can collect money from people outside of the district for seed money, and I'm allowed to raise $1,500 in amounts of less than $100 from any one individual. I have about $500 raised so far in seed money, and that's just helping in the interim for me to buy, like, sticky notes and, business cards and stuff like that.
What's the population of your district? Can you shake all the hands and knock on all the doors that you have to between now and Election Day?
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. And where can people go to find out more about your campaign?
If you go to bit.ly/VotePunk, or the long form of that, I think, is sites.google.com/site/elect-replats.
I'm going to recommend you get a GoDaddy forwarding address for just Vote Punk or something like that. Can I buy that? I'll link to it from the video description, but I already see a bunch of people my age and older in Portland trying to remember Bit.ly, all that nonsense. So we're going to get you Vote Punk. I'm sure that's available. Vote Punk.
I hope so.
This is Asher Platts. He is in the Portland, Maine area. He has been very active in the Occupy movement, and he is now running for state senator in the Portland district. That's district, 7?
I'm in district 8.
District 8 in Portland, Maine, and I, for one, wish you plenty of lots of luck in that endeavor. And thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.